Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back, everybody. It's wonderful to have you all here listening to us this evening, and we hope that you join us every evening, Monday through Friday, here on From the Median. I want to remind everybody that all of our programs are available for download on our website, fromthemedian.org. Again, fromthemedian.org. Also, at the same website, if you would like to help us to continue to be on the program, all you have to do is go to our donate button and support us and help us to be able to continue the program. We are listener funded, of course, as I constantly remind you, and it's great to have all of you participating in making this happen. Our next guest is a dear friend, and somebody who I have been trying to get or wanting to get on the program for a while. Recently saw some things that were going on with her, and I thought, I got to get Bay McFarland back on the program. So without further ado, Bay, welcome to From the Median again. This is, I think, one second or third or fourth time that you've been on. But before we go any further, I want to say to you, tell the listeners, who is Bay McFarland?
Hi, Molly. I am the director of Mary's Advocates, and what we do is we uphold true marriage. And when people hear true marriage, they might think we're talking about same-sex marriage, but that's not what Mary's Advocates does. What I do is uphold true marriage in comparison to what the culture has been doing with no-fault divorce, where people just walk away from a marriage and no one does or says anything about it or helps.
So how I know that your Mary's Advocates is the name of your organization. It's been getting a lot of attention recently because more and more people are coming to your way of thinking about things. Bay, over the last, I don't know, maybe 33 decades or so, the last 3 decades or 30 years or so, we have seen a complete destruction of the family through this no-fault divorce. And I think more and more people are understanding that this is not the way to go. Tell us, we're about to enter the marriage season right now. I mean, let's face it, summer is time for everybody to get married, and it's wonderful, and we'd love to see this. What advice would you give to young couples that are either considering marriage or about to get married?
Sure. One of the things that Mary's Advocates does for anyone who's getting married, we show them how to say as much as possible, I don't want to have anything to do with this no-fault divorce marriage. Mary's Advocates on our website has a true marriage proclamation set. And what that is it's something that people would sign. Like when you go lease a car, you sign an agreement where you understand what the car dealer and what you are doing. Well, we should be doing that when people get married. I mean, you hear about, you get your state marriage license, and most people don't even know what that is, but the state for the last, since the 1970s, has had their own little definition of what people promise when they get married. And what it is, anyone who gets married according to the state, if somebody wants to walk away, fine. You walk away, no one holds you accountable to your marriage promises. You hear the stories about the normal dad who has his kids taken away and he has to pay lots of money. That's the no-fault divorce understanding of marriage. So what we do is we show people, hey, if that's not what you're signing up for, put in writing what you're actually doing. Mm-hmm. So we've got a true marriage proclamation set. And besides just the marriage promises on this absolutely gorgeous paper, we tell people and we show them how they can sign something. And this is getting too complicated, Molly, so interrupt me if I'm losing you.
No, absolutely.
Okay. We have a document where they designate a third-party arbitrator. If there's a dispute, they want a dispute managed in according to their own rules. Like, you know when you get software on the Internet and you have these long agreements that they say, check that you agree? Those things may have in there that you're designating that if you have an issue between the two parties in an agreement, you're not going to go to the regular court system. You're going to go to a third-party arbitrator. And the beautiful thing is, for Catholics, we have our own code of canon law that talks about what are the legitimate and fair reasons for separations of spouses in the first place. Catholics are supposed to only separate in accordance with divine law. And that's kind of a little more complicated for what I'm getting into right now. But the idea is, if someone is marrying in any Christian tradition where they have a Christian minister or where they have a Catholic priest presiding over their marriage and they're using their long-time marriage promises, good times and bad, sickness and health, then people can put those in writing and sign them, and then they can sign this other thing saying they want their marriage managed in accordance with the church's understanding of marriage. So that's kind of a kickoff thing I'm trying to do right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you say that, would this be something that if one of the partners, one of the spouses decides that they want to walk away from this marriage, can the other spouse pull this out and say, hey, hang on a minute, you signed this and we have an arbitrator here? Would you, do you think that that would hold up in canon? Let's take the Catholic situation. Would canon law support this?
Well, canon law most definitely should support it, because all you're doing is asking the church to implement its old canon laws. The more interesting question is, will the civil court support it? Because civil courts do recognize arbitration agreements to designate a third-party arbitrator.
Oh, wow.
And if the civil court wants to tell, you know, an adultering wife who wants to steal the children from daddy and kick daddy out of the house, I mean, there are states where a court will flat out kick anyone out of the house just because the other party says, I want a divorce.
Yeah.
So if someone brings this agreement, that's a signed agreement, that the people have an option to have a lawyer review it before they sign it and talk about the laws of their state, I mean, it's designed to slow down the civil courts who are trying to mutilate and destroy families. And instead, let's bring in those who are expert at helping couples for people who marry in a Catholic tradition or in any kind of Christian tradition.
You know, I remember.
So this is what it's aimed for.
Yeah, good, good. Because I can remember a friend of mine at one point who had said, I have actually lost touch with her since it was many years back. But the way she found out, she had no clue whatsoever that there was any problems within her marriage. But her husband had met somebody else. And she went to the door one day, the doorbell rang, she went to the door and there was somebody serving her with some papers, and she opened it up and it was a writ for saying that husband was divorcing her. And she said she called him up at work and said, are you joking? You know, blah, blah. We just thought it was some sort of a gag thing that he was doing. And he said, no, I'm serious. That's how she found out. This is so wrong the way things are happening right now. So wrong.
It is wrong. And Molly, when you were talking about how more people are starting to understand the destruction of no-fault divorce, there is a movement of adult children of divorce who grew up having to go back and forth, and they know how stupid it was. And those people don't want to repeat it.
Yes,
but
exactly.
But if they do nothing, the state is kind of, you follow what I'm saying? The state is sort of like trying to force on people
an
understanding of a marriage agreement. And that's not what the people really want. So we're showing them how to write it down.
Exactly.
So for any of the listeners, if you're going to a wedding this summer and you're intrigued by what I'm talking about, go to Mary's Advocates, look up our True Marriage Proclamation set. And, you know, it's a great gift for a bridal shower.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So that's the one thing that I'm doing that's trying to strengthen marriage from the very beginning. And
absolutely.
Another possibility of this, if you've got a groom who is, let's say he's cheating on his girlfriend and, you know, he's not really very sexually faithful, and someone puts in front of him this agreement where he's agreeing that he's designating a third party arbitrator, you know, in accordance with God's word, the Bible and property and all of this stuff. It's possible that kind of guy is going to fess up.
Absolutely.
And he's going to say, I'm sorry, honey, I can't sign this. And then, you know, the friends get involved and they end up not getting married. But it's better that they don't get married if the man never really intended real marriage anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. I want to introduce in this segment, and then we'll continue on in the next segment. You have been, you've been involved in really working with inside, within canon law, looking at the annulment process and how does all this work within the Catholic Church, particularly within the Catholic Church. And as a result, you've done an incredible amount of work in researching canon law, putting it all out there for people to understand on your website, actually, you know, talking about it and very vocally and, you know, encouraging the parishes and the dioceses across the nation and across the world, I think, to really take canon law seriously when it comes to the marriage issue. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing and the trouble that you're getting into.
Okay. Yeah, the trouble that I'm getting into. And God bless Bishop Daniel Thomas. I absolutely love the guy. I just watched the ordination, his homily. I wanted to cry and I was knocked off my chair of how beautiful his homily was. But I have put Bishop Thomas in a position because he's my local ordinary now. And let's see. People have heard that you can apply for an annulment, which frees you to marry a second person or a third person. You can apply for annulment after you have your civil divorce. People have heard that. And then people have also heard that it's only those who are in second marriages without an annulment who are doing anything wrong as far as the Catholic Church is concerned. And what I have uncovered is there's a lot more to this that's supposed to be happening when parties separate and get a civil divorce. It's actually canon law that parties are required to live together, kind of like what you promise when you get married. You're required to live together unless you have a legitimate reason to separate. So if my husband's beating me senseless, well, good grief, of course I can separate. Or if you're a man and your wife is an unrepentant adulterer, she's going out with boyfriends, she's coming home drunk, she's scandalizing the children, there are times when it's legitimate to separate, and there are times, sometimes, when it's okay to get a civil divorce. Well, what I found is canon law going back to the 1800s and before says no Catholic is supposed to file for a civil divorce until they have their bishop's permission first. And there's supposed to be some kind of church intervention so that the public is not given scandal. And by given scandal, you know, you watch your neighbor lady go to church on Sunday and you know she's dumping her husband and her husband seems like a good guy. The average Catholic just kind of feels uncomfortable, doesn't know what to do, and the church looks like they're condoning this. And that's upside down. So what's happening right now is I am in a controversy because I published a little flyer that I wanted to get official permission to publish so that any priest in the United States can use my little educational flyer. And I said, you need the bishop's permission before you file for divorce. And what's happening is there's a controversy about this. There's a cardinal in Rome who's in a position of responsibility. I am challenging, I'm going through the process to challenge that this cardinal is incorrect and I'm just some soccer mom.
Which Bea McFarlane is a soccer mom, but certainly not just some soccer mom for sure. Bea, we're going to have to take a very quick break. When we come back, we can talk more about the challenge that you've put forward, because I think you've done it in a very respectful way and I think people should know about it. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be back with Bea McFarlane, who is the president and founder of Mary's Advocates. She'll be back with us right after this short break. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Molly Smith, your host. Bea McFarlane, who is the president and founder of Mary's Advocates, is my guest this evening. Bea is talking with us about the whole divorce marriage issue. Bea has been outstanding in her defense of marriage from the perspective of let's get rid of this no-fault divorce. Let's try to make as well as we can to stick to our marriage vows, you know, stop the whole idea of if we're having a disagreement, off we go to the courts and get an annulment and away we go. It's destroying the family throughout the whole Western world. I really believe that what Bea is doing is groundbreaking. She's bringing us back, steadying us again and bringing us back to a position of putting the primacy of marriage and the family first. Bea, before the break, you were telling us that you are in some sort of a controversy right now with regards to what you or your interpretation of canon law is, and what one of the major cardinals at Rome has said about this. Give us a little bit more of this background.
Sure. Since I've been doing this work, like 12, 13 years ago, I was publicizing. Canon law says you need the bishop's permission before you file for civil divorce. And my purpose was that if there's two parties who care about being Catholic, the party that doesn't want their marriage destroyed could ask the church to intervene. I mean, Catholics are a big family. We've got one God. We're supposed to be all working together here, and we all care about love and growing children who have their heads on straight. So if somebody cared about being Catholic, rather than going to the no-fault divorce lawyers who will take your money and not let you talk to your spouse and have very expensive back-and-forth litigations and motions, rather than doing that, let's go to what the church says we're supposed to do. I mean, there's even scripture that talks about when your brother sins against you, you go to your brother, and if he doesn't listen to you, you bring witnesses, and if that doesn't work, you go to the church. So canon law is scriptural-based, and it's set up for people to do that. So I published this document, and I said, you need the bishop's permission before you file for divorce. I even talked about some of the things that the bishop is supposed to consider before he would give this permission. He's supposed to consider whether or not the separation is in accord with divine law. So I published this statement. I was invited to speak in Rome in September of 2015. The paper I gave had a welcome letter from Cardinal Raymond Burke. All the talks at the symposium I was at were printed up and given to all the bishops in the Bishop Synod in 2015. 2 months later, a letter comes out from this Cardinal Coco Palermo. He is in charge of the Pontifical Council for the Interpretation of Legislative Texts, which means his department is in charge of interpreting canon law. Well, Cardinal Coco Palermo's letter was not done in the way that's authoritative. It's like, it's called an opinion. And I don't know how many of your listeners have been following what's been going on in Rome, but there are cardinals and bishops just spewing out ideas, and they're just saying them, but they're not doing it in the way that's authoritative. But your average reader has no idea what the difference is. Well,
exactly.
I did know there was a difference.
Exactly.
So Cardinal, I'll call him Cardinal Coco for short because it's too many syllables. Cardinal Coco says that in the United States, you don't need permission from the bishop before you file for divorce. And Bay McFarland is finding other people who say you do need permission. For example, canon law on this is very compact. They squeeze a lot of information in a few words. So people who want to learn more about canon law can look up commentary. And there's universities where you get your canon law degree that publish these commentaries. In the United States, commentaries were published in 1980s and then in 2000. And the commentaries in the United States say, oh, these laws aren't practiced, which leaves the reader wondering, what does that mean? Commentaries from Spain say, absolutely crystal clear, you've got to have the bishop's intervention before you file for divorce. The reason is to prevent unjust separations and to prevent getting scandal. I just was talking to a canon lawyer yesterday who gave me the information from the country of Italy, their canon law commentary. It says the same thing. So what's happening is I'm just publishing what I'm finding from all these sources going back historically, but in the United States, it's not practiced. So last week, I put out a press release saying, hey, I'm going to Rome to make recourse about this controversy. I want the Office of Education in Rome to explain whether you do or do not need the bishop's permission in the United States to file for a civil divorce. And then as soon as I put out that press release, what happened is a very well-renowned canon lawyer in the United States named Ed Peters wrote something on his blog saying, without naming my name, that I was wrong. And the reason he said I was wrong was like, this is not practice in the United States. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, there was a book used in seminaries that told priests, hey, if you've got someone coming to you that wants to file for divorce and they don't know they're supposed to have the bishop's permission, don't tell them. Don't tell them they're supposed to have the bishop's permission. And then he says these canon laws are symbolic. And he cites some other
So you're saying that what he's quoting as his evidence that it's not necessary in the United States, let me get this right, is the fact that because the priests were not taught this, in fact taught the exact opposite, because people were saying, don't tell anybody about it, because if you don't tell them and they don't know, and then you're not sinning. This is his evidence of the fact that it's not necessary in the United States.
I'm trying to summarize, but that is one of the things he said. So right on Ed Peter's website and on Mary's Advocate section of my website called Entreaties, and on Pew Sitter and in LifeSite News soon, there's this controversy where Ed Peter's against Bay McFarland and it's going to Rome.
Oh,
and the silly thing is, Ed Peter's is very well respected in the United States, and I've heard, I'm opening a Pandora's box,
yep.
And he does, if they really tried to implement this, where everyone was taught, if you're a Catholic and you've got a Catholic marriage and you're going to get the bishop's permission before you file for divorce, obviously the bishop can't manage this, but canon law allows him to mandate delegates.
Exactly.
And what's happening now is the reverse.
Yeah.
When one Catholic divorces another Catholic, I think people are kind of uncomfortable about the whole thing. You look to see what's written and it says, you know, all Catholics can go to communion. It's like, I mean, all Catholics who are divorced can go to communion. You're not excommunicated if you divorce. And like, well, sometimes, yeah, but if you're an abandoner and the reason you're leaving your spouse is because you're annoyed and you don't have a fair, legitimate reason, that is a grave sin.
That is, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So,
yeah, exactly. So what you are challenging them to do is to say, what is the truth? There cannot be five truths here. There has to be one truth. If I'm getting the gist of what you're saying, Bay, there is one truth, and that is what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. And of course, as you explained to everybody earlier on, in that, of course, if somebody's getting beaten or there's, you know, serial adultery going on, these are very serious reasons, and absolutely that, you know, they should move out and not be, you know, there should be a separation that goes on there. But it seems to me almost, and we're almost out of time, but we'll have to get you back on because this is a fascinating topic, absolutely fascinating. It is so key to what the things that we are battling, Bay, in the culture, and that is the whole breakdown of the family, the disrespect for human life. It all ties together. So, you know, you've got about 30 seconds. Wrap it up quick.
All right. Anyone who's going to a wedding this summer, I ask you to go look at Mary's Advocate's True Marriage Proclamation Set. We need to get a movement going where people are standing up against the state and the legislators saying, I want marriage as my church understands marriage, and stay away from me. I don't want your stupid unilateral no-fault divorce. And for anyone who's in a situation where they're experiencing an abandonment and the other spouse cares about being Catholic, come to me.
Absolutely.
Write me, come me, join me. We've got ways. You can ask the bishop to intervene, and some number of people can be moved to reconcile.
Absolutely.
Rather than abandon.
Your website again, give it to people.
Marysadvocates.org. That's Mary, the name Mary and word advocates.org.
Perfect. Bay McFarland, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you're always so intriguing. It's just, I love listening to you because you've got so much knowledge there. So thank you.
All right, thanks, Molly.
Take care, all of you out there. We run out of time as usual. May God bless you all. Remember, join us here every evening, Monday through Friday. Good night.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible.